The Flames placing Yoni Ortio on waivers just after 10 o'clock this morning, and certainly that's got a lot of people in Flames Nation buzzing. I guess I'll ask you, you had an opportunity to see him play. You've had an opportunity to watch him, observe him. Curious as to, okay, he's on waivers, not so much whether or not the Flames are making a mistake or anything like that, but what is Ortio? What do you see him as long-term?
Well, it's hard to explain. You know, last year he came in when, you know, both goaltenders were down, and he came in and played some great minutes for the Calgary Flames, got them some huge wins, got them some wins in tough buildings, and was very consistent and very, very steady, although it was for, you know, a short period of time over relative to the season. You know, it really kind of set himself up to start the season here in Calgary this year. You know, he got injured at the end of last year a little bit, and he came to training camp this year, played some games, and was never really called upon in his short time here with the Flames at the start of the season. He played that one game against the Islanders, and again, came in on cleanup duty for one game, and that was about it. So that just kind of tells me that, you know, Calgary's kind of had their mind made up here for a little while. They're in a tough spot with three goaltenders having expiring contracts at the end of the season. They've had two significant injuries in the minors in Stockton with their goaltending, Poulin and Gillies, and they just need to get Ortio playing again. Find his confidence. I don't know if he's even lost because he hasn't really played that much, but having three goaltenders to start the season, to go through the first quarter of the season and still have three goaltenders is a very difficult task. Guys want their rhythm, they want their flow, and if you have three guys constantly going around, you kind of lose interest in practice, and it's just not, you're just not really getting a whole lot out of it. So I think the Calgary Flames made the right decision in sending Ortio down. I think it was more a benefit for him to go down to Stockton and play some games. So that's the most important thing. If he's sitting on the bench or he's sitting in the press box, he's getting bag skated, he's watching from up above here, that just gets old really fast, and I'm sure he's probably a little bit disappointed that he gets sent to the American Hockey League, but in the same breath, I'm sure he's extremely excited to play because he will get to play a ton. So it's a good move for both clubs. I mean, you know, you kind of hope he gets, for his sake, gets picked up by somebody and gets an opportunity. But as of right now, I'm sure he'll report to the American Hockey League and get himself in the right mindset to go out there and win some games and to play hard and to make the Flames kind of use it as motivation. You know, when guys send you down, you kind of use that as a bit of fire to get back up top. I'm sure he's disappointed, but he's a professional, and I'm sure he'll battle his way back up.
Do you see him as a potential number one? Like, do you see traits there that could make him a number one at the NHL level at some point down the road?
I have. I think he's been. You know, his poise in the games is what I was always impressed with. He, especially last season when he came in, got called up and just kind of went to work and was he made some big saves at key times. He was very in control and didn't have to search for the puck a whole lot. He was always in the right position and he was kind of effortless. And those are traits that you know, consistent goaltenders have where the, you know, they can just hop into any situation. They got the mental capacity to battle through and to make it look easy. And, you know, I thought for sure, even this year in New York, I mean, he didn't play the greatest game. You know, he got off to a great start for the first 30 minutes. The last 30 minutes, he let in 4 goals. And he looked strong. He maybe wanted to have one of those back. But I definitely think the Flames have not given up on him. And I think that's a tough thing to get across to a young goaltender or a player, for that matter, who's being sent down after such promise starting the season. That, you know what, you got to go down there, you got to earn your stripes, and you got to prove to us that you know, you got what it takes, and prove to us that you know, what we saw in you is still there, and you're only as good as your last game. And unfortunately for Yoni, his last game wasn't it was a third period, I think, and that's it. So he's got lots to build on. I don't think he's too down on himself. I'm sure he's frustrated, but he can use that as motivation. And I do see him as an NHL caliber goaltender for sure.
In conversation with Brent Cron, who joins us every Wednesday here on Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. How about last night in Dallas? I mean, if you would have thought a 7-4 score, you probably would have thought that Dallas was winning that game. But instead, it's Ottawa who goes into Big D, comes away with that 7-4 score, and they score 7 goals on just 20 shots. Kari Lehtinen and Antti Niemi both kind of flip-flop. That was not a banner night in net for the Stars last night.
No, and I watched the highlights of the game this morning, and I couldn't believe the turnovers. I mean, they were just some, like, just outstanding turnovers, passes right up the middle to guys coming in on breakaways. And, you know, they only had 19 shots on net, 7 goals. I know Kari came in for 3 shots, letting 1 goal, and then Antti had to go back in. And, you know, although the save percentage didn't look all that good and the goals against average didn't look all that good, they were just some horrible turnovers. And I'm sure, you know, making key saves at key times is what goaltending is all about. And Antti and Kari both have done exceptional jobs for the Dallas Stars this year, and usually Dallas can outscore any team, but last night, you know, Anderson, I believe, had 36 shots on net, and he made a key save in the last 2 minutes of the game on Jamie Benn on a wide-open net. And,
yep.
You know, when you let in four goals, usually you lose the game, but Ottawa was able to score seven. Dallas was very, very poor defensively with a lot of mental errors, just keep coughing the puck up, and you know, Antti couldn't make the saves when needed and keep the game close, and Dallas kind of made a push at the end, but at the end of the night, I'm sure Lindy Ruff's not too impressed about the way they lost that game, and you know, when you don't have that much work, but you're giving up a lot of goals, it's kind of demoralizing too as a goaltender, because you see, you know, your team peppering the goaltender at the other end, and it seems that every time that Ottawa got a chance, it was in the back of the net. So yeah, that's a definitely a mentally tough game, and it'll be nice to see how the boys bounce back. I'm not sure if Kari got injured or whatnot, but Antti will probably go back in, and that's the good thing about the National Hockey League too. You play so many games, you get to forget about that last garbage outing and just keep moving forward. So it's probably a good wake up call for him too, because you can get quite complacent when you're crushing teams and kind of running all over them. So this is a big call for the Dallas Stars, and they can just move forward, and I'm sure the goaltending will follow suit.
Speaking of injuries, bad injury news out of Winnipeg with number one goaltender Andre Pavelich going down. He's not going to be back until January at the earliest, might stretch into February with that knee injury. So it's Michael Hutchinson who gets the opportunity now, but the guy that I'm really interested in now, Brent, is Connor Hellebuyck. He comes up from the American Hockey League, and he'll make his NHL debut in the somewhat near future here. His AHL numbers really, really strong. I'm curious as to, okay, now you're making the jump from a full season last year in the AHL and then this year to start in the American League. What's it take to make that jump in net to make sure that you can then become successful at the highest level?
Well, consistency is one thing. He's going to get his opportunity. I believe Paul Maurice has already said they are going to use him due to Pavelich being out for a length of time. And he's earned himself a start in the National Hockey League too. I mean, the guy has played steady throughout the American Hockey League. He's put up some good numbers, like you said. He's a big boy, and it's kind of exciting. Winnipeg's a fun city to play in. The crowd gets right into it. They're really, really excited, and they're a big, fast, explosive team, but they do rely on their goaltending. You know, Pavlik's been you know, up and down his inconsistent self, and he's got a pretty good price tag on him, but excuse me. But it'll be really, really exciting to see. I love watching goaltenders come up from the American Hockey League and see how they make the transition to the National Hockey League. Andrew Hammond did a great job of it last year. The Ottawa Senators, they were down and out, and he comes in and plays outstanding. A guy like Jake Allen, you know, he comes up from the American Hockey League, gets a couple of seasons under his belt. He comes up and he plays, you know, outstanding. Martin Jones, same thing. Like, it's just so much fun to watch these guys. And with Connor here, too, I mean, he's got a big opportunity to make an impression on the Winnipeg Jets, because I do believe this is Pavlik's last year on his contract as well, or he might have one more, and he's making a little over $4 million. And it's just, it's exciting to see. I'm going to be watching that game when he gets that call, and I'm sure he'll make the most of it, because he has played some international competition as well against the big boys, and he's done well for himself. So, you know, I can't see why, you know, he wouldn't take advantage of his opportunity. Michael Hutchinson has been great this year too. You know, I mean, he's played four less games than Andre Pavelec, but his numbers are better. And I mean, Winnipeg is very deep in goal, so they don't have to worry going forward here.
Yeah. In conversation with Brent Kron, who joins us every Wednesday here on Hockey Central at noon. He's our goaltending analyst here on the program. Two more questions I want to ask you about. You know, we see Carey Price come back in Montreal, and obviously Price comes back after being out for a little bit. He's the number one goaltender. There's no controversy. There's no question marks. We know that Carey Price is the guy. But for Mike Condon, who did such a good job for them while Price was out, what does the mindset need to become after Price comes back? What does he have to do now that Price is back in the fold and back being the number one goaltender to make sure he stays sharp and continues to impress?
Well, first of all, I think he should be very proud of himself, because stepping in and filling in for a goaltender like Carey Price when he's injured and out for, you know, 3 weeks, and Michael Condon came in, stepped in, and played fantastic. Montreal did not even miss a beat. I'm sure he faltered there, not really at the end, but he gave up a few more goals in his last couple games. But still, he was solid. He was confident. He was calm. He was cool, exactly like Carey Price. And so, first of all, he's got to be very, very proud of himself for the job that he did. Now, secondly, with Carey Price coming back, Montreal won't have a second thought about, you know, throwing Condon in on a back-to-back night or if Carey needs a rest. I mean, they got a dependable backup now. And Pokarski was good, but not this good. Condon just seems like he's in a different category on his own with his confidence and his poise. And I know that the Montreal Canadiens play a very strong game in front of him. And now with being sent back to being the backup position. I mean, you got to be the best practice player. You got to be the hardest working guy. You got to be the last guy off the ice. Sometimes it's nice when you're the starter because you play all the games, you get into a rhythm, you're practice, you take what you need and you move forward. Whereas a backup goaltender, you don't have that rhythm. So you got to find that rhythm in practice with taking shot after shot and staying on the ice afterward with the guys to help the guys out who need to add a little extra work and just being a good team guy. And it seems like he's been doing that so far this year. And Montreal's got a great 1-2 punch, the best goaltender in the world. And then they got a, really solid backup as well. So they're sitting pretty here going forward as well.
Final thought for you, and that's in St. Louis, where Jake Allen seems to have really seized the reins as the number one goaltender from Brian Elliott. Now, a lot of people were wondering when this was going to happen, when it was going to be Jake Allen's time. Seems like it's his time right now, after a long time in the American League. What are your observations on Allen in St. Louis?
He looks phenomenal right now. He's athletic. He's making great, great saves. He's in the right spot. You can tell he just looks excited to be in the net. He's played 15 games this season. He's at a 1.98 goals against average and a 932 save percentage in comparison with Brian Elliott, who's got a 2.7 goals against average and an 898 save percentage. So Jake Allen's, a one goal a game better than he is with his goals against average and about 3% better at stopping the pucks, too. So he's definitely earned the trust of his coaching staff with Ken Hitchcock and the boys playing in front of him, where he's just making some phenomenal saves right now and keeping games really, really close. And he's given up some early goals, and I really like how mentally tough he's been just sticking with the course, because sometimes playing for a team like St. Louis where they won't give up a ton of shots, but they'll give up scoring chances, and you've got to be ready for that. And he's done a great job of making timely saves. And he's been a lot of fun to watch, too, because he's not a cookie-cutter goaltender either. There's a lot of athleticism in his game. I played against him in the minors as well. And, he's a very acrobatic-type goaltender. He doesn't give up. And they're fun to watch because you're never really down and out. And it's just really happy to it's really nice to see a guy like that has paid his dues in the American Hockey League come up and steal a job in the NHL. And hopefully he can keep moving forward here because, the St. Louis Blues have had a good team for a long time. They've always been very, very solid. And their goaltending has always been the suspect, been the one position that's kind of left them on the bubble. And if he can continue going the way he's going, playoffs are going to be his true test, but he needs to have confidence going in there. And I'm sure he's a guy that can finally get St. Louis over the hump and contend.
Good stuff as always, Connor. Appreciate it, my friend. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday.
All right, buddy. Sounds good. Thank you.